Everyone, welcome to Effort Advocacy Media. You're watching Journeys. I'm Mark, a brown man with a green shirt, black and white beard. I'm bald in front of a brown background.
And I'm Crystal. I'm Mark's co-host, and I'm a white woman with brown hair, brown eyes, and I have on red and black glasses and brown divider with a wall and a shelf.
And today we have the good pleasure of speaking to a guest who's doing some important advocacy work in India, Puneet Singhal. Hi, Puneet.
Hello, Mark. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hello. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Hello, Crystal. I'm really excited to be on this show, and to visually describe myself, I'm a brown man.
Yes.
I'm from India. I have black hairs. I'm sitting on a black chair. I'm having a black headphones, and I'm wearing a dark blue T-shirt with some zigzag patterns. And yeah, I am there excited and hoping for a good conversation.
Thanks
That's
for joining
great.
us.
Thank you for joining us, Puneet. Do you want to start by telling us what started you on this path? How did you get into this work?
I was born in a slum in New Delhi, India, and I have dyslexia and dyspraxia, and also I'm a person who stammers. So all of these things gave me a different perspective around disability, and also I was very sensitive, as a person with stammering. I was not talking much in my childhood, so I was listening a lot. I became a good listener and a good observer of the of generally of society, and also as a good reader, because most of the time I was not interacting with the society, so I started to read a lot. So all of these things make me curious, make me question and challenge assumptions around the society. And one of the closest experience that I have, due to which I was discriminated, was disability. And also born in a family where I have to see poverty as well, and also some kind of domestic violence as well. So all of these challenges created quite interesting perspective. And also, I was able to get good education, which is not very common for children like me. So I think I was very fortunate to get this English education and all these degrees. And also I got into a bank. Then I realized in workplaces, especially the person with disability faces a lot of discrimination at so many levels. And it is so subtle. You cannot, you just feel it. Just cannot describe it in words sometimes. You just feel that everything is just so numb at times. You feel that there is something wrong, but you cannot describe it in words. So that was my condition. And after leaving the job, I decided to, that I will do something around, I will be advocating for equal rights, and also about the society's attitude and behavior towards us. So I started my own organization. I started to advocate. For the first time in my life, I was actually asserting my identity as a disabled young person. And all of these things created a kind of a ripple effect, because most of the people joined me in my journey. They started to support me. They started to amplify my voice, and all of these things make me a much more confident person. So all of these things, I think the beginning is the tough. When I posted for the first time on social media, when I talked about my disability and my challenges for the first time in front of the people. I think that was the most difficult stuff because it's really difficult to get your things out. But after that, I realized that it's so easy because actually people want to listen to your story, they want to support us, and they also say that, you know, that I have been going through all my life, but I'm not able to say it. So thank you. You are doing it for all of us, and that's why I always believe that my challenges are not my only. It's our community across the globe that are having the same challenges.
Yes, yeah. It's a challenge no matter where you are. And all we want to do is make it the whole world accessible and available for anybody who is struggling. And I mean, not, I don't just want to say make that a thing for just disability because just that's. You being human, no, and the connection that we have, just being human. No, we may look different, talk different, whatever, but we all have the same soul. We all have the same ideas. We want the same thing, So it, a lot of people are confused about. We're not just about disability. We're about humanity and getting it right and being kind to everybody. We understand that there are definite division things within different countries. We get that. But at the same time, who created those divisions and why going forward do people adopt those ideals and then harm people that don't need to, that doesn't need to happen,
Speaking about those divisions, Puneet, I know we know that in India especially, there are a lot more divisions in terms of the caste system and the and religion and there I think before I read, there was something like 160 religions in India or something like that. And like then there's the separation of language and culture and obviously the economic situation. There's some people who are desperately poor. How does that intersect with disability for you?
That is a very interesting question because Mark, you know, we talk about when we talk about religion, every religion has its own say about disability. You know, especially in Hinduism and Buddhism, we believe that it's because of our past life karma that we are facing the consequences of all the karmas in this life. So this may, you know, kind of calculate this, you know, that we are just facing the consequence of whatever we have done in our past. So also in languages as well, like there are a few words which put disability on a pedestal, and there are some words which are very insensitive. So you know it shows the you know societal attitude towards the community and also like the diversity of things, you know, because people with less resources will not have the access simply, you know, they have to wait, they have to, you know, wait for the government, wait for the other institutions to provide them the access. So all of the challenges create a very complicated and complex situation here in India. And also when we talk about it's a huge population less. If you talk about scale, like we have more like we are more than like the whole population of the continent of Africa, squeezed in like 7 times less of the space. So let's think about the density of the population and the challenges when it comes to natural resources and all of these things. And especially like it's a growing population, it's a growing economy as well. So thankfully we've got a good access to internet, and internet has been a game changer. Like we have got the cheapest internet in the world. So like even the poorest of the people have that access. So that is making a huge lot of changes because people are getting aware. They can actually they can do the advocacy on social media as well. So I think the youngsters, especially the new generation, is very energetic. They are assertive, and also like they want they know what to do, like in terms of they are getting the exposure. They know what are the policies and laws that are in place for people with disabilities. So I think the awareness is increasing. People are asking questions and they are challenging whatever that is wrong in the society. So I think it's a very dynamic society.
I think that's also good because that whole connection to the internet and global knowledge, and it allows us to realize that things like in different religious texts, which were written by certain people with certain motives, and essentially telling us that bad things that happen to us are our fault, or stuff like that, that more connection with other people and a global understanding of what that someone wrote that book with a specific idea in mind that isn't necessarily the same idea that we were created with, or the same energy that we were created by.
Yeah, I think yes, definitely it's a very good point because Mark, that we don't know, like what we don't know what about the situation thousands of years back, but especially we know that humans are human. Like human beings deserve respect, human beings deserve love, they deserve access to resources and everything. So I think there are some things which cannot be compromised. We have to have our own wisdom as well. And if we believe in God and if we believe in equality, I think who would say that that one human being is not equal to the other? Like it's a basic common sense, and that's why like it's great to not have blind faith. It's always good to question things because the people who have questioned the beliefs, the people who doubt are the one who make changes.
Yeah, that's important because no matter what belief you have in God or a universe, or there's it's it there's no I mean that sense of judgment of you having done something to deserve your current condition is not something that a god would impose on you. It's something that people have imposed.
And that kind of thinking is so damaging. Generational, we talked about previously the generational traumas of being told that our disability is because of something in the, that something you did in the past, or that can really mess with somebody's whole psyche, going forward with their family, and I can't imagine, in where pretty fortunate here, but I can't imagine, like in a country like India, where there's so much generational stuff and expectations, especially for men to, and that impose things on women, it all kind of comes together, and then you add a disability onto that. That makes it even of a more damaging dynamic.
Yeah, surely, Crystal, because I was trying to understand this phenomena more, and I was talking to my parents, I was talking to other parents in the in my community, and then I did some reading and all of these things, it is like I come to know that we are living in a far better time, in terms of access to food and access to basic needs. But when it comes to my parents' time, nothing was like, we were not secure. So they have the first instinct to be secure. They want to get a job, because the job for them is the most important thing. And in order to get a job, you have to be like some kind of, you have to be capable. You have to have do things on all of these things. And most of the times it's physical labor that requires, because at that time there was no IT boom in India. There was no multinational companies and all of these things. So I think it is engraved in their psyche that if my child is not physically able, if my child is not, not in terms with all of these requirements, then he will die of hunger, because we have seen these things happening in the previous generations. That generation have seen droughts, that they have seen famine and all of these things. So I think it's understandable where from where they are coming, right? And so and in this generation things have changed so drastically. Now better access to jobs are there, now better access to resources are there, food is there, everything is there. But that mentality is still there, they have gone through that trauma, and it will reflect in their in how the parent that their parenting as well. So it is transferred from one generation to another, and now we have to address all of these things on our own. Right, so without having that psychiatrist and psychologist is a big thing. We cannot afford to go to therapies and all of these things. So I think it requires a lot of addressing, a lot of acknowledgement of our colonial past and all of these inequalities that is there in the society.
So you were talking when we chatted before about a global advocacy network. Do you want to tell us more about that?
So I am working as a community manager at the Global Network of Young Persons with Disability. So we have around 600 members with disability across the globe. They are from South America, they are from Europe, they are from North America, Africa, Asia, and all these continents, around 80 plus countries. So I'm curating the community for them. We are providing them the learning resources. We are providing them the opportunity to network, how to get support from each other. We are also providing them capacity building workshops. And also we have our own platform where we talk about accessibility. We have tools. We have tools where we can make our PDF accessible and all of these documents that are not accessible. So we just come to our Accessible Connect, which is the platform, and then they can make whatever things they want to accessible. So they are just free of cost. So these are the things that we are providing, and you will be happy to know that we are selected by MIT Solve as one of the six winners of the program. So we will be funded by MIT, And also, like, we will be mentored by them to how to scale and how to expand and how to increase our impact when it comes to young persons with disability, and how to learn explore. And we are continuously exploring how we can support, because I think Mark, you will agree that, you know, without money it's not possible. Like, we can only talk, but, you know, if they want to do some real project in their communities, we really wanted to help them with some funds, with some opportunities, so that, you know, at least they can have some basic pilot project to show something to the funders, to the donors, that, you know, this is what we can do. So you can give us, so all the for this purpose, I think we are also looking forward to provide much more concrete support and mentorship to
Right.
our members.
That's great. And even that, maybe one day, I don't know how long we are away from it, but you know, even the idea of money is used to hold people down and force them to jump through certain hoops and do certain things to you know, money is kind of held in front of our faces like a carrot, you know? And maybe there's one day in the not so distant future where we'll be able to redefine what that means and, you know, we be able to do things without looking for somebody else to fund us or something because we need them to give us the capability to do these things. But we might be a couple of years away from that.
Yeah, it's, you know,
So true.
it's hard to, I guess, when your mentality is, you know, trying to help people understand the issues and be on the same playing field, stuff like that. I guess it's harder to understand that not everybody has that same, they don't want that, you know, and that, you know, for them, the whole money thing is something that they're gonna do no matter what. They don't wanna see goodness and kindness going forward. They're committed to making the world not so great, you know.
Absolutely, Crystal. Like, in my very short non-profit experience, like, I have denied several big donors because I don't like their intentions, what they were trying to do, and, you know, and also, like, how they were evaluating and trying to measure my impact was not in sync with my values. They were all concerned about the numbers. They were all concerned about, you know, that they want the evidence, they want the proof. But how can I tell that there is a boy in my community who told a joke for the first time in his life, and he was proud of himself? Like, I was said, this is my biggest impact, and they said, you know, that it doesn't make sense. So I said on their face that your monetary evaluation criteria doesn't make sense to me. So we are not built for each other. We have to say goodbye. So we have to, like, money is not everything. Like, first of all, like, it's the thing, you know, that happiness, that laughter, that confidence in my participants' face is invaluable. And, you know, they are going to school, like, they are getting that education. I'm very proud of, like, how of their journeys and all of these things. But if I sell my values, if I compromise with my values, I think it doesn't make sense. I could have just continued
Right,
with my job back in bank.
exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, that's why we go through the process we do to have these episodes. Because if we meet people and their values and morals, and they're dead set on just trying to sell you their business, or they're not dedicated to the disability community, they're basically wanting to get on to sell a product or sell an idea, So it helps to have that.
Or use this interview to add to the resume.
Right, which is fine, if they are primarily trying to better, society, if they're trying to better the disability community, it's fine. We encourage that, that's how people connect. That's how they're gonna know who what you're about and stuff like that, and what you are working toward. How are they gonna know that if we don't let people do that,
I mean, obviously we should let people do that, but there's certain motives. It's kind of like, I've got to check this box to, I've got to use this as a stepping stone to get other things.
Yeah, and also like Mark and Crystal, like it's so like you understand people, right? After like some interactions, some conversations, you understand people's intentions, like why they are here, like why what they want out of you. And when you are running an organization, when some participants, like some people are putting your trust in you, and trust is the biggest thing. There is nothing more valuable than trust. They are giving your time, they are coming to your center. So it's nothing is bigger, but these two donuts were more concerned about the time I'm waking up. Like everything was very like kind of being controlled, the time I'm waking up, the time I'm sleeping, the time my participants is coming to the center, what did we do, like all of these things, they become very like controlled, and where we don't have any space for enjoying at our times, because our time is like it's pretty much about dancing and music as well, right? So all of these things, like we were not able to have that sense of agency over our time, because at times we are done with our workshops, we are done with all the things, and we want to draw, we want to sketch, we want to do certain things, we want to play. So all of if these things are not included, then I think that space becomes very kind of their school as school or their house, where then they are not able to enjoy. So I want to give them some good time, where they can have the sense of belonging, where they feel that they are safe and they can be happy and they can enjoy themselves, but it was not allowed. So I have to say a goodbye to these kind of donors. And now the donors that I have, I think they say that, that we trust you, we just want a report once in a while, what are the activities that you are doing, then and this is it's fine, instead of just giving every day, then this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm not doing, all of these things. So it was annoying.
Yeah, that's very, Crystal and I both experienced that. This very old model of employment where, okay, we have a job for you. You have to come here at this time, leave at this time, and do these things. And it's a job is only for work. Right? And it's very, very disconnected from us as human beings, where there needs to be a ba like a human being is about a balance between things they're able to do to relax and unwind and just be themselves, and obviously we have to have a certain amount of work involved to keep the business moving forward and to achieve what we want to achieve. But it's not, this is slowly changing around the world, but maybe not fast enough.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, I think we need to like change pretty fast on that because you know our needs are changing. You know, we are focusing on traumas, but we are not focusing on healing, right? So I think that are two parts of the same coin, and being trauma informed is very good. It's very imperative, but our focus is to like how to enjoy ourselves because this is the way forward. And people think that people with disabilities do not want to enjoy. You know, they do not want to play. They do not have their desires. They do not have you know their sexuality and all of these things which we face every day. So I think it is very important to put a narrative that we are just as human beings. We are not any less of a human, right? Which we were discussing in the very beginning, that all these aspects of, you know, of wanting to play is very human. All these aspects of wanting a companion is very human. And if we snatch away that right, and if we are just numbers for them, it doesn't make sense for us to work with these kind of organizations and people.
Yeah, we've talked many times with several guests, that if we interact with you or even go onto your website, and it's very evident by looking through it and just and being able to see that these are maybe you're doing the bare minimum to be inclusive or diverse or whatever. But in the long term, those that kind of you're just doing it because it's the thing to do, or it looks good on your website, then I'm sorry, I'm done. I'm going to go to a company who's proven time after time that they really are those things. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. I know there's like millions of other people with disabilities that are turned off by the same thing. And they're just as you were alluding to, we have the same wants and needs and values and ethics. We're human. We're not some kind of alien or something. And we want to interact with like-minded people and have the same opportunities, you know?
And also like it's very evident. We see that most of the organizations are doing it for compliances because it's in the law now. It's in the regulation. Otherwise, they can be sued. So if we just like if this is the only criteria they wanted to make their organizations more inclusive or diverse, then I think they are bound to fail. If the intention is that. So I think intentions matter a lot, and if you put right intention into place, I think mistakes will happen, but you know the learnings will be immense. Like if you listen to people, if you ask questions, if you don't understand something, you again ask. You know, I think all of these things are like it's a part of basic human experience and basic human learning. So I think it's a journey which certain organizations are like overstepping. Like they are missing some few basic steps, and they're trying to like reach that inclusive and diverse tag very soon, instead of like working hard for it.
To me, I look at what I just explained and then kind of going into what you're talking about as well. So in the past, I was a web designer and a graphic designer, but who I was working with, it was more, they had me there more on a tokenism kind of thing, like because they had for the government, they had to show that on paper that they had done that, that they hired someone with a disability, and that totally did not reflect of who I am and what I believe. So yeah, that's why I'm not doing that anymore. But I very much see the same thing in like the technology kind of in the same way. Like they're doing it to show on the website on paper to look popular on what's popular, what is trending or what is cool to do, like being diverse and inclusive. Sure, that's an awesome thing to do, but is that really your long-term goal and intention? Anything?
Because of that, I think I was going through a website. It's a movement when it comes to like decolonizing the planet. So they were talking about that DEI is a failed endeavor. Like it has failed. It is not working the way it was planned to be. So I think it up to a sense it makes a fair argument that organizations are not inclusive and not diverse. And because of that, that word diverse itself becomes very frustrating for some people, like because they know what is going inside in the organizations, but they are putting a tag on themselves that that we are diverse. So I think a lot of scrutiny and the criticism is quite important. And instead of like for the organizations and for especially for advocates like us, especially like when we are having this kind of conversations, we have to be very positive in that sense of in that sense as well, because we need to give like proper actionable steps to them, because then only criticism itself will not do any favor. We have to make sure that this moment, this action of diversity, equity, inclusion works. We want it to work.
So Puneet, I think you're right. It's challenging sometimes because some corporations, they or some businesses, they're just kind of they don't know. They're it not necessarily out of any bad intent or because they want to do the wrong thing. They just don't know how to do the right thing, and they just sort of going along with whatever everyone else is doing because they don't know any different. And it's important for us to talk to them.
I think there's an argument, some people are more money derived and want to help society, give them a list of here's what we need, and this is what you should want to do if you want to have an inclusive and diverse website. And we try to do that ourselves on our own website to show people this is what, anyway, but some people are, like I said, more money derived and want to make money off of that. to explain that. Whereas people like Mark and I want to share the issues and teach people how to go forward with things on a, you know, just because we want to be kind and help humanity go forward, you know, and give not everybody has the financial means to be able to get that information, you know. And if you're putting out a whole group of people and minorities that are not able to get the information you want to give, but they have to pay for it to get it. So it just doesn't make sense to me.
Definitely, and more so because the number of persons with disabilities increasing, right? The population has been aging, and we don't know when we will be going through that health phase when we can have that accident. We don't know, like it's disability is just right around the corner, and we are not ready for it. Like we have to work on it, because since like we have examples like Japan, which have a very growing old population, and accessibility is the issue. Same goes with Europe and so many other countries where aging is so much there. So I think it is important to be prepared, because the needs will be there, and at that time we are not ready, I think it will be another health crisis, just like we have just coming, or maybe like COVID is still not over, like the pandemic is still with us, like we are having cases around the world, and it's like but we cannot take things for granted just after a pandemic, and then we have seen what.
Yeah, that pandemic has been particularly helpful in, I mean, obviously it's bad. It's a lot of people have suffered, but I mean, sort of for a short time anyways, let a lot of people who aren't disabled understand a bit more about what we go through on a daily basis. And what a challenge it is to just participate in society when your illness sort of prevents you from doing that sometimes. And I shouldn't say your illness prevents you from doing that, but the systems in place aren't accessible enough to let you participate in society.
As you said, Mark, we are in momentum, like we are just coming from the pandemic. We have a lot of learning, how is to be like be in a lockdown, be in the confinement of the house. So we are all learning from that, and let's build on that momentum, because it's from this learning we can take a lot of things. We can take a lot of practical steps when it comes to the health system, when it comes to mental health system, which is like mental, like person with disability are like very vulnerable when it comes to mental health issues as well. So now when the people were going through the lockdown, they were facing quite similar challenges. So I think we have to build on that learnings, on that momentum, and ask the authorities and the administration, the government, to have some things in place, because it's really good to be prepared for the next one.
Sure.
Anything else, Mark?
I don't think so. So, Puneet, what are you working on right now? Is there anything you'd like to promote or tell us more about?
Yeah, so I am also the co-founder of Billion Strong, which is an organization which empowers and which gives voice to the person of dis with disabilities across the globe. And it's we assert identity, right? We want to give that voice, that platform for all of us to be discoverable, because our challenges need to be seen, our successes need to be seen, our all of us needs to be seen, so that no, because most of the people complain that where are disabled people? We cannot see them. So if the society is not accessible, we are in our houses. So like it's really important to close down that vicious circle, and for that we're trying to do something with. Through Billion Strong, and as we say, like, we are more than like we are around 1.5 billion people with disabilities across the globe, and it has to be around this big population. And for that, I think you can check www.billionstrong.org. You can become part of it, and let's join us, because we are going to have a lot of interactive engagements very soon to provide the resources to our communities, and how we will see how we can support, because it's all about building a community. It's all about building a community where we care for each other, where we try to mobilize resources, and where we'll see like how we can partner.
That's awesome. Thank you for doing that over there. Because we can't be everywhere, so we certainly appreciate and respect other people who do it in their respective country. So
Absolute,
thank you.
absolutely, and thank you so much, Mark and Crystal, for this opportunity. I think you're doing a tremendous job, and to amplify the voices of advocacy, because people think that advocacy is easy. Advocacy is about complaining. It's about just ranting out your frustration, all of these things. But it's much deeper. It's all about empathy. It's all about sharing that care, sharing the challenges and the sorrow and the sadness of the community, and try to come up with a solution. So it's a very, very powerful tool. It's a very powerful source, and I am grateful, and I really appreciate your effort through this podcast.
Thank you, Puneet.
Bye.
Okay, have a good day. Bye.